In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning. It sure is great to be back. I missed you all a lot. To be able to be in those amazing places in Rome, first time as a priest, only as a seminarian before. And even though I didn't get to do things that I'd like to have done, because I had to do whatever the bishop said, which is a normal course of action as a priest, there's so much good that was gone there. I was just talking even with Jaime before Mass, and said, oh yeah, I went to the church of St. Augustine. That's where his body's buried. No way, that's my saint, he said. Can I see the pictures? Yeah, I'll show them to you after Mass. That's where his mom is buried. That's where St. Valentine has his skull. So visited him on St. Valentine's Day. That's where there's a shrine in the back of that church, Madonna del Parto, Our Lady of the Birth, of the Pregnancy. And so it's basically a one-stop shop for everything that the family struggles with. That's what I prayed for your families. Thank you for entrusting to me so much of your intentions and requests. It was a great honor for me to pray for them. Thank you for giving them to me. This week we have, right after Mass, grades 1 through 3, we have your religion classes. So go, if there's somebody here who's not here, who should be, call them up after Mass and get them there to catechism. Grades 4 through 8, we're going to have the Mass at 5:15 again. We just had a hiatus last week because I was gone, and your class will begin at 7. And the Knights of Columbus today will be having a bingo at 7, at 2 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, the Knights of Columbus will be having that bingo. And I'm happy that I'm going to actually be able to be there, since normally I have to run off to go to Vaughan. But since it's not my parish anymore, I finally get to experience some of the joys of hanging out with you after Mass. And Barbara asked me to ask you all if any of you would be willing to serve as lectors. Lectors specifically for the 8 a.m. Mass that takes place in the morning in Spanish. It doesn't take a whole lot to read in Spanish to let God use your voice. That's all it is. It's not you speaking. It's God using your voice. And you just give it to him so that his word may be proclaimed. If you think God might be calling you to do that, talk to me after Mass. Begin with the homily. Blessed is the man or the woman who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates upon his law day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted beside flowing waters, and whatever it is that he does, God will prosper. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's Psalm 1, the first psalm. Really easy to remember. Maybe some of us today just need to spend time in the first psalm. There's a reason why it's the first psalm. Sit with that. Ask our Lord. Meditate upon that and see what he's saying to you each day. But right now, I want you all to just pull out of yourselves for just a moment and think about the week that just went by. The week that just passed. Those 7 days that were there. And as I'm talking, just think about that week. The past 168 hours that went by. For a reference point, let's just assume you all went to Mass at the 10 o'clock Mass last week. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you went to a different one. I don't know. I wasn't here. But use that as a reference point. And let's start that week beginning right after Mass. Right after Mass went on, think about what is it that you did. What did you do last week? Let's review something. Maybe what happened is that you went home, right? You went home. You did what? You flipped on the TV or something. You went through all that Super Bowl countdown that was going on, that 16-hour pregame show that goes on. Well, actually, that wasn't last week, was it? That was a week before. But that was my last week with you. So that's where I'm thinking. My last week with you. Maybe you did something else last week. But what did you do after that? Did you flip on the TV? Did you maybe start to do a little bit of reading? You catch up on some email or go write to some blogs? Did you surf the web or go down a YouTube rabbit hole? What'd you do? Maybe you just curled up on the couch or in your comfy chair and just did a little Netflix and chill. What'd you do? What'd you do last week? Think about everything it is that you endeavored in last week when you weren't at work, or you weren't occupied by school, or you didn't have practice, or when you weren't otherwise occupied. Just what did you do? What did you do with your time? Let's start with reading. Maybe you read a little bit this week. How much reading did you do this past week? Books or magazines or studies or paperbacks or on your Kindles? You spend maybe 20 minutes doing that, or an hour or 2 hours, or for somebody who's really into it, maybe you spent 4 hours over the course of the past week. What about TV watching? How much time did you watch TV or movies this past week? Was it just an hour? I doubt it. Was it 10 hours or 20 hours? Maybe more than 20 hours? How much time did you spend with them? Add that up. What about how much time did you spend surfing the internet or just going through email? Listening to iTunes or downloading a new CD or just listening to the radio in general? How much time? What about how much time did you spend playing apps on your phone or your tablet? Games on your PC or on your console? You guys in the front row will get this, and in the back. How much time do you spend playing Fortnite or Candy Crush? How much time did you spend with those games? Add that up. Try to come up with a rough number now. You've got all those things. Add up all those times that you spend roughly in your head. Do you have any idea about how many hours over the past week you spent doing that stuff? Got a number in your head? You got it? Good. Let's try to calculate a different set of time. Different set of time that you spent thinking about. Start to think about how much time you spent over the past 7 days listening to God, reflecting upon His Word, upon meditating upon what He's spoken to you. So again, by looking at sacred scripture, how much time did you spend in sacred scripture this week? Did you read the Word of God any time at all? Maybe 5 minutes or half an hour or an hour? How much time did you spend? Don't raise your hands right now, but did anybody spend more than a single hour just reading scripture this week? What about going to Mass? I know we didn't have Mass this week because I wasn't here. Maybe what you can do is think about the week before when I was here. Or how much time do you spend watching a Mass on TV throughout the week or listening to it on the radio? How much time over the past week, the past 7 days, did you spend in the Mass since last Sunday? Once? Maybe you went to it twice? Maybe you did it every single day? Or some of you do it twice a day, in the morning and the evening. You watch it both times. You know, when I was in Rome this past week, one of the things that I was struck by, a memory that I had when I was there in St. Peter's Basilica, this amazing basilica of the church where the Pope has Mass so often. When I walked in there, I remembered, I've been there for 4 years, and how every morning there's the same man who looks like our brother Simon Peter, who read the readings for us this morning. Every day, what he does is he goes from altar to altar to altar. All these altars, hundreds of priests celebrating Mass every morning in St. Peter's. And he goes from altar to altar, sitting in on that Mass, waiting for them to give Holy Communion, and he receives it, and walks over to the next altar, and then to the next altar, and the next altar. And you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be going from altar to altar receiving Holy Communion. The church says don't do that. Well, he's not my parishioner. It's not my job to tell him. Everybody else there knows him. But isn't that something? That he so wants to be involved in the mysteries of God, even though he's got tons of things to do in his life. He spends his entire morning super early just going from altar to altar because he loves Jesus in the Mass. How much time have you spent in the Mass this week? What about good spiritual reading? You know, reading that you've done. Maybe you pick up the life of a saint or something that just inspires you to live out your vocation, to live out a more virtuous life in Jesus Christ. Something that lifts your soul to that heroic self-sacrifice the disciples of Jesus are supposed to do. To seek the very face of the God who loves us. Have we spent any time doing spiritual reading this past week? Maybe a couple of minutes. Maybe we saw a book that was there on our shelf, or maybe it was on our nightstand. We saw it there. It was calling out to us that maybe I should get into that. We ended up never picking it up. We just never did it. What about the amount of time that you spend listening to Catholic radio? You know, in our parish, isn't that a great gift that we have 103.1 FM, that radio station that we broadcast from our own parish here? So you can listen to the radio. A lot of you, like Deacon Marvin, have that satellite radio where you can listen to tons of Catholic stations all over the world through that. Some really uplifting stuff. In my own life, I didn't know my faith, even when I graduated from college. I had no clue. But listening to the radio taught me about the beauty of our Catholic faith. And I can attribute it to the fact that I listened to Catholic radio after I graduated from college almost nonstop. And that's how I learned that God was calling me to be a priest, to be silent, to engage my faith in a radical way where that was never different. I was always different after that moment. How much time did you spend filling yourself with good news through the radio? What about the time that you spent praying? Praying. How much time did you pray this past week, over the past 7 days, talking to God, listening to God? The God who loves us into existence. The God who calls us to intimacy of friendship. You spend 5 minutes or 10 minutes, half an hour, or even an hour in prayer this week? The time you spent praying the rosary or praying to your guardian angel or just asking for help from a saint friend that you have that you're really close to who's in heaven who made it. How much time did you spend this week? Take all that time. Add it up. All that time that you spent praying or going to Mass or spiritual reading or reading sacred scripture or listening to Catholic radio. Add those hours up. You got a rough estimate of the amount of time. Think about it. Now compare that number that you got here to the number that you had before. The time that you were watching TV or movies, the internet, go listening to music or the radio, the time you spent gaming. What's the ratio between those numbers? What's the ratio? Was it 2 to 1? 10 to 1? 20 to 1? What's that ratio? Is there anybody here today? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Is there anybody here today who has a bigger second number than a first number? I know some of you really seek God. Maybe you do. And we wonder why. We wonder why in our life that when we're gathered together by our Holy Father, when He calls us together here on a Sunday morning, when He pours His very life out to us in the mystery, in the Word, in the sacrament that He lays before us, we wonder why we find it so challenging, so difficult. We find it so hard to understand what exactly God is doing for us here in this Holy Mass. But we don't spend that time listening to Him throughout the rest of the week. Or He pours out His very body and blood to us and gives us His everything, and all we have to do is sit there and receive. He does it all for us. That's why the Mass is the greatest prayer ever. Because He does it. You know, I've been praying this whole week on sacred scripture. One particular line of the scriptures that we had read for us today, I spent all week praying it. It wasn't the gospel that Deacon Marvin prayed for us, proclaimed for us. It wasn't that first reading that Asa gave us from that prophet Jeremiah. It wasn't that second reading that Jaron, you gave for us very well from St. Paul. It was from the Psalm. Psalm number 1. And one particular string of line that was there. I'm going to share that with you. Psalm 1, this is what it says. It says, "Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates upon His law day and night. He or she is like a tree that is planted by the side, flowing, running, life-giving waters." That kind of tree is always green. That kind of tree is always bearing fruit. That kind of tree has deep, strong roots. So that even in the midst of violently terrible weather, even in the midst of when the winds are blowing hard and when the rains and snow don't come, it can never be blown away. It says, whatever that he or she does, God is going to prosper. I want to suggest something to you today. I'm preaching to myself. I want to suggest something for each of us today that we here called this week at St. Rose of Lima Parish here in Santa Rosa, I think we're called to be like those trees. To be that very tree that it speaks about in the first psalm. What? To look at our own lives, to think about the things upon which we meditate every day, each day. Because whatever we spend our time on outside of those necessary things that have to get done, we're meditating on that. What are we meditating on? Are we regularly exposing ourselves to truth? Exposing ourselves to wisdom? Exposing ourselves to the reason that you and I have as Christians to have hope? Not hope that something's going to be good for us or this job situation is going to work out. That's not what Christian hope is. Christian hope is reaching toward, in the midst of all the things that are going on today, towards salvation. That God is going to rescue His people. That God is going to bring us to fulfillment that lasts in eternal life. Even if this life is going to pot. Our hope isn't here. Catholic hope, Christian hope is heaven. That God's got it, even when we don't have a clue. Are we regularly exposing ourselves to the way that leads to everlasting life? Are we even looking for it? Or are we stuck in a rut? Going through each day with a joyless sort of autopilot that, yeah, we're making progress only because our feet are moving one from front of the other, not because we're actually moving toward a goal, not because we actually know where we're even walking. God's word is challenging. It's challenging us to see that unless we are regularly meditating upon His word, as it says in the scripture, day and night, upon His promises, upon those eternal truths that He puts before us, upon the great things that Jesus Christ does for us even today, that unless we're regularly meditating upon the challenges that God gives us in sacred scripture, challenges that do what? That remind us that this life is difficult, that this life is a battle, that hardships and the obstacles that we find so often in our path that come into our way, and yet, God's going to be faithful through it all. He is. In the gospel and the Beatitudes, what's Jesus doing? He's blowing our minds. He's blowing our minds in the gospel. So what does he say? He says, blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry now. Blessed are you who are weeping. Blessed are you when people hate you and insult you and exclude you and tell all sorts of rumors about you here in our community and call your name evil just because you're Catholic. Just because you follow Jesus Christ. How? It says we're supposed to rejoice even in that day. How? He says to us, woe to you who are rich, who are filled. Woe to you who laugh now. Woe to you when everybody speaks well of you, because that's the way they treat people who are false prophets. That blows our minds, because those are things that we want in that other column. And the things that we don't want are the things that God said are blessed. How do we make sense of any of that? Only by meditating upon the Word of God can we come to see things as God sees them. God says that unless we're doing that, unless we're filling ourselves daily with God's Word, then we're not like the tree that's planted by flowing, running, life-giving waters. Really, we're just a tree that's planted in the midst of a desert, which has no roots, which gets no nourishment, which, when those tough times come, they just get blown away in the wind. That's what God's saying. Lent is coming. Lent is coming. It's just 2.5 weeks away. That's really close. How are we preparing even now? It's a time that what happens? What, that we get to cut out things out of our lives so that we can talk more to the Lord. So that we can give more time to really live. You know, the only place where you can actually find real life is in Jesus Christ. He's life itself. And without him, you don't have life at all. The existence that you have is just putting one foot in front of the other, and you're not making any progress. In fact, you're probably running off in the wrong direction if you don't got Christ. We can't share in his life unless we're continually feeding upon him, unless we're continually being connected to him. And perhaps today, the thing that we just need to reflect upon today is what? Is Lent. To ask the Lord to show us something. To ask the Lord to present to us what we can just remove out of our day that doesn't matter. That doesn't lead us to flourishing, so that we can make time to do what? To meditate upon him, upon his word, to get into his truth, so that we can be planted deeply, so that we can have strong roots, so that we can live out a life that is flourishing, to be really happy even now. That means joy-filled, both in good times and in bad. Psalm 1 says something. We take it to heart. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who delights in the law of the Lord, who meditates upon his law day and night. He or she shall be like a tree that is planted by side, flowing, running, life-giving waters. And whatever it is that he or she does, God's going to prosper. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.